Gene Barber has lived in Caldwell since the early 50s. Used to be the sheriff in those parts. But before that, he served in World War II on the Corregidor. It's quite a story. A story that started when he was quite young. Too young, according to his parents.
That's true. I went to Dallas, Texas, and sent the papers back home to Mom and Dad and asked them if they wouldn't sign them and send them up there. My dad thought I was too young, thought I ought to wait till I was 18, you know, like the rest of the guys. But it didn't. They sent them back, and my first troop train trip was from Dallas, Texas to San Diego.
Yeah, 17 years old on that troop train, he was a little bit wide-eyed. It was a long way from his hometown of Bremond.
It really, really is, and no one went in with me from my hometown. That was the thing. I was by myself, and the only person that I really got acquainted with was Kilroy. Every place I went, he'd done been there.
Now, because he did sign up, Gene Barber had his choice, somewhat, of where he wanted to go. Did not want to go to Europe. The Battle of the Bulge was raging there. Instead, he went to the Pacific.
That's true. Mm-hmm. My best friend was a little bit older than I, and he joined. He was waited till he was drafted, and then he was in the Battle of the Bulge and lost his life there. Dan Scott McCall Jr. was one of the best friends that I had in high school. Played football together, and Dan went to, to Europe. I went to the Navy. I chose the Navy because I thought I'd learn something in the Navy, and I did.
Gene Barber had served some 8 years in the Air Force Reserve, but he learned his trade, a machinist, in the Navy.
Well, in November of 1942, the war had been going on since December of 41, and I was lucky in boot camp. The four camps in San Diego are right together. It's Camp Decatur, and Camp Luce, and Camp Mahan, and Camp Farragut. Mm-hmm. And you go to Decatur for the boot camp. And when you get out of boot camp, then if you get a school, you may stay in the same area. And I was lucky. I got Group 3 schools in San Diego, California. And they taught me how to use a hammer and a hacksaw and a file and hand tools. And they also gave us some time on lathe, mend machine, and shaper. And I applied myself. I finally decided that maybe I needed to, bear down and do things like you ought to do.
Exactly.
And they gave me a fireman first rate out of Group 3 schools and assigned me my first assignment at new construction out of Astoria, Oregon. And that's where we picked up the Corregidor.
The Corregidor, also called a baby flat top, could hold 18 bombers and 18 fighters.
The reason why I give them credit for teaching me discipline, when I first went aboard the carrier, I was a member of the original crew, which they call you a plank owner. Plank owner in the flight deck of the ship that you're assigned to. Well, I am a plank owner in the USS Corregidor. I picked up the ship. They brought it down from Vancouver down the river to Astoria and Seaside, two little places there in Oregon. And we came aboard the first day, and you always muster on the flight deck. Well, I mustered on the flight deck in my blues, and I went down to the engine room in my blues. And an old chief that was there was sitting on a bank of valves, and he called me over because he saw I was different from the others and I had my blues on. And he gave me my first assignment.
Yeah, Gene Barber calls him a tough old bird. You'll find out about that first assignment and more of the service of Gene Barber from Caldwell. I'm Tom Turpeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley.
Continue the story today of
Gene Barber of Caldwell aboard the USS Corregidor. They fought in four major battles of World War II.
We went to Tarawa and Macon and Little Macon. We went to give support to the ground troops, which was something that baby flat tops, we didn't think were maybe really capable of doing a good job, but we did. About 4 o'clock in the morning, they'd call general quarters, get everybody up, and they'd refuel all the planes and bring all the bombs up from the, or whatever they're going to use that day, to the ships and put them aboard. And then they'd take off about daylight because we didn't have people that flew at night, not
right.
On baby flat tops, and had the F4Fs and the TBM like the president has out at the museum. It was one of the planes that we had on there.
Mm-hmm.
Those were two, TBMs and TBF. One was just made at a different place from the other, but they were both just alike. And we gave them ground support every morning, fly them off and bring them back. And it's a beautiful thing to watch if you've ever been to sea on a carrier. The way that they take off and the way that they land. When they take off, they're loaded. And on a baby flat top, you had to steam into the wind. You know, you had to turn it into the wind because they didn't go fast enough. 19 knots, if it wasn't any wind, it was hard for them to get altitude. And sometimes they'd go in the drink when they'd go off the front of the ship. They'd go down like this and then pull up, you know. Best pilots in the world were on those carriers. If you could land on one of those things, you could land on anything. Anyway, we'd fly them in, and they would come back and get another load and go. And they bombed Tarawa forever. And the big ships that were there, I believe the Big Potato was there, Utah and some of those, they shelled that island forever. There wasn't anything left hardly standing, but they were dug into where, when the Marines went in there, we had terrible losses. It was terrible, you know, the men that we lost. Lost more men there than ever.
There was one event of the war that Gene Barber will never forget. It was watching the sinking of the USS Liscombe Bay.
One morning when we were doing all this, getting ready to go bomb, and they were piping up the oil, fuel, and bringing up the bombs to load the planes to send them off. The USS Liscombe Bay was steaming about 220 yards off of our, I believe it was a starboard bow. We were all three right together. And a Japanese submarine launched a torpedo that hit about three quarters way back on the USS Liscombe Bay. And I never had any idea. We knew what was going on. We were at quarters already. We were at general quarters because we were getting ready like everybody else. And when we heard the commotion and heard what was going on, I was stationed then, because I still had my red stripe. It was my first trip down at a repair station. Me and Paul Argo, another guy, we pulled up and went up the uptakes. Mm-hmm. Uptakes on a ship is where the air circulates back up. They pump air down into the ship, and then it goes back up and out the side. We went through the uptakes, and we watched as the Liscombe Bay was sinking. Terrible, terrible thing. They couldn't even get water to put, you know, on the fire. The gasoline that they were putting in the airplanes ignited on a hangar deck, and the whole ship from one end to the other was burning and red hot. And it sank stern first. It went down with the back end going down first. And they lost over 600 men in about 20 minutes.
Tomorrow we'll finish up with Gene Barber from Caldwell, one of the biggest Bob Wills fans you'll ever see. I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley.
Gene Barber
brought to
was
you by
the
me,
sheriff
Santa of Burleson County. The last couple of days we have been telling about his World War II experience on the USS Corregidor. But he also is probably about the biggest Bob Wills fan that you're ever going to find. At his home in Caldwell, well, he has an office, a room that's really a museum to Bob Wills. How'd he get interested in the legendary Texas country crooner?
When I was in high school, one of the first times that I heard, in Bremont, Texas, I walked back and forth to school. And I had to walk down Highway 6 and 14. There was a cafe there, Elite Cafe. Mm-hmm. And the first time I heard Bob Wills and Texas Playboys was in that cafe, and they were playing San Antonio Rose,
right.
The newest record of San Antonio Rose, and it was didn't have words. It was the old one, and I thought, Lord, that is beautiful music. And that was the first time that I, you know, really appreciated. And then when they put words to it and put the band together and made the big band, and it had the big band sound on the new San Antonio Rose, then it really helped me. These people play. They can really play. All the time that I was growing up, we played Bob Wills music, you know, and listened to it.
So recently on an episode of Veterans of the Valley, Ann Black, the executive director of MSC Opus, had a special presentation, a couple of pretty valuable tickets to give to Gene Barber.
Mr. Barber, thank you first of all for your service to this country. My daddy taught me to dance to San Antonio Rose. This is a gift certificate for two tickets for A Ride with Bob, the Bob Wills musical. Now, of course, it isn't Bob Wills and his Playboys, but it's Ray Benson and Asleep at the Wheel.
Oh,
if you're not
gosh.
Familiar with them, they
that
do justice
neat.
To Bob Wills. And
I'm familiar with them.
We hope you'll come and enjoy a little trip down memory lane.
Good.
And thank you for sharing your memories with us.
This is wonderful. This is really wonderful.
It was indeed a thrill for Gene Barber, and he will enjoy the show. And remember, you can enjoy the show, too. It's the MSC Opus presentation coming up February the 1st and the 2nd, A Ride with Bob Wills with Asleep at the Wheel and Ray Benson. I'm Tom Turbeville. Thank you for your service, Gene Barber. This is Bravo Brazos Valley.